Hello, welcome to Angry Dorks. I'm Ron Swallow, your awesome host. We have Becky Kluger. Say hello, Becky Kluger.
Yo, yo, yo.
Becky is the new neurotic nerd news girl. That's what I'm going to call her. We've got guest Andy Sell.
Hello.
And then we also have Matt Blackwood.
What's up?
Ed Greer is late, and Brandon Easton, also late. It puts us all in a weird position.
As comedians, we can't
It's really hard not to say something as hacky as possible. They are both black. It's a terrible, terrible thing to say.
The thing is, the comedian in you always rivals the decent human being in you.
Because
like,
it makes we all know intellectually that it's retarded to say that black people were more late than any other people, especially in L.A., because L.A. has shitty traffic.
True.
But it should be mentioned that I'm darker than all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked in.
That's true.
Yeah.
But for the record, I passed as Mexican for the first half of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got talked to in Spanish twice today in Montebello.
That's impressive. You were shiny white. your hair color, maybe.
You have red hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because you look like a little... I don't think they thought you were Mexican. I think they thought you were Spanish. Like they thought you were a little Spanish boy.
They thought you were from Ibiza. Did they lisp a lot when they spoke Spanish to you?
Did they use the vosotros conjugation?
Andy's from New Mexico, by the way.
Ish. Are you sure they weren't speaking
so
live there?
By the way. Yeah.
What?
So Ron's also from New Mexico.
Yeah, Ron's from the Duke City.
Yeah, Albuquerque. So I guess do you have your rant ready, Matt Blackwood?
Oh, yeah.
Before we start this, I'm going to introduce this. this is a new segment of our show that we're going to be doing that is going to be basically a dorky rant, a minute or two. All the main hosts are going to give their little rant, and we'll go from there. If Ed shows up on time, we'll throw him on. If he doesn't, then he doesn't get a rant, and he'll have to do one next week. So... with his dorky rant of the week, please put your hands together, even though we won't hear it because we're on the radio, for Matt Blackwood.
Also, if you're driving, if you're listening to this as a podcast and driving, don't do that.
Don't listen.
The funny thing is I had a rant prepared and developed another one on my way here.
Nice.
But the original one, and my headphones are out. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Fuck it. All right. Basically, people are always trying to get me to watch television shows. Okay. And there's a ton of new shows every year. Huge new crop of shows every year, right? And I will give it the pilot.
Okay.
You know? I'll give it the pilot. You know? So I watched The Girls pilot. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a ton of people were like, oh, no, it gets so good. You got to watch episode 4. And I'm like, really? 4 fucking episodes? If you're asking me to watch a movie worth of this show before it gets good. You know what I mean? Before it gets good. Not like, oh, yo, it gets really good then. It's good to start. It gets really good then. It's, you know, so it's... Don't try to get me to watch more than one episode of a show and expect me to last. Like, you know, if you think that I'm going to like a show... tell me to watch one episode of a show. If you don't think I'll like the first episode, you know, tell me, just watch this episode. Just watch episode 8 or whatever and then see, like, that's a good example of what the show is. Something like that. But, like, don't try to get me to watch, like, 8 hours of TV and then go, oh, see, now it pays off. Like, now you like it. It's like, no, if I don't like the first hour, I've got shit to do. You know, like there's a lot of other shows that other people are telling me to watch that I could be doing, you know, not to mention actually trying to be productive and, you know, write my own shit. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have time to watch 6 episodes of Revolution and then go, oh, now I like it.
Excellent. Matt Blackwood's rant. First off, we had Brandon Easton show up.
Hey, sorry about that.
You have to talk directly into the microphone.
Yeah, LA is great.
Yeah, the traffic here.
I love the mass transit infrastructure.
Yeah, traffic makes you want to stab people or the mass. Yeah, all of it's bad. And now what we're doing is we're doing our minute or two rant. Becky Kluger is going to go next. Becky Kluger is also our neurotic news girl, but she's going to rant right now. Go ahead.
All right. Mine is a perfect response. I actually did plan this. Everything on TV is great. You're in the fucking golden age of television. Like, maybe something's not for you, but don't give me shit about it. And here, this is actually more of a story about how crazy I am than anything else. Because I was hanging out with Ron the other night, and one of my favorite shows is Doomsday Preppers. And he was like, you know, maybe it's just staged. And I actually, like, I couldn't continue the conversation. My chest tightened. I got hot. It's not fucking staged. You know,
this is a reality show?
Just watch it first.
This is a reality show?
Okay, well, like, it's not like other reality shows.
Oh.
It's actually
real. Oh, it's different.
Yes. Okay? These people are great Americans, first of all. You're not even, like, giving them a benefit of the doubt by, like, watching the fucking show for you. You're just like... Okay, also, the show Psych is good. Okay.
Psych is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little cheesy. It's fun. Yeah, it might not be for you.
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Well, why are you shrugging about it?
I'm shrugging because it's one of those I don't have an opinion.
That's fine. That's good.
Nobody has an opinion about USA shows.
Either they watch them or they don't, but there's no opinion.
Seasons and you're like, what is that? I've never heard of that.
Okay, no,
Royal Pains? So it just started, right? Season what?
Suits.
Like season 4? Suits. Do you know anybody who knows anybody who watches Suits?
No. It's on like a couple of years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on season 2.
I don't want to watch it.
There's always that one guy.
It's well made. That's my point.
You always have that one friend that watches Burn Notice, though. There's always like you got the one friend.
I watched the first
one
two seasons.
That swears by it. Yeah. It's basically MacGyver if the guy wasn't a genius.
Yeah, here's what USA is. It's like all of the shows from the 80s that kind of were unwatchable, but now they're good and they're all on USA.
See, I prefer the shows from the 80s. I prefer MacGyver to Burn Notice.
Yeah.
I just prefer it to be, all right.
I prefer The Incredible Hulk to Royal Pains. That was
the analog
on that
one, right? It's the same show.
They're both about doctors.
They both have a cameo from the mighty Thor.
My point is, stop talking shit about the show I like. Maybe you could just be like, you know what, girls, it's not for me. It doesn't speak to me, you know?
You mean I don't think it speaks to anybody.
I watched... There was an episode of... I can't even talk about it. We'll talk privately.
Are you getting mad again?
No.
Well, the thing about girls is I believe people when they say it gets really funny. Great.
Yeah.
I don't have time to wait for it to get really funny. Like I said, there's a ton of shows. There are so many shows just coming in from the BBC that are fucking amazing where you're like, what's Luther? And like, oh, no, you got to fucking watch Luther. And you're like, all right. And then you watch it like, oh, shit, this is really fucking good. You know, I can't believe I haven't been watching this, you know? But like I watched the first episode and I was like, is it a dramedy? Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to be serious? Because it's not succeeding at either thing. Like, I'm not... Yeah. It's not succeeding on a dramatic level for me. I mean...
I couldn't tell if I was supposed to identify with those entitled chicks or if I was supposed to hate them. Like, I couldn't...
It felt like the thesis of it was 24-year-olds have no idea what they're talking about. And you're like...
this show is written by a 24-year-old.
You're preaching to the choir, though. And
I know. I love when they brag that it was written by a 24-year-old. You're like, yeah, great. A 24-year-old Rich wrote some shit. But guess what? They don't know shit.
Oh, I haven't read Axe Cop. But that is the whole gimmick of that is, hey, this was written by an 8-year-old. I'm like, I know 8-year-olds. Like, that's
by the
not
way,
something that appeals to me.
My rant was also actually going to be similar, but on a different topic, which was books.
Okay.
Because
you're tired of 8-year-olds writing books?
No. Well, well, if you read Aragon, you'd be kind of that too, which I did. And here's the thing. This has happened to me a couple of times. It happened with Twilight and it happened with some Stephen King novels where they're like, hey, read these books. They're really good. And then I started reading them. I read the first Twilight book and there was one or two spots where I was like, oh, it's not terribly written. You know what I mean? But nothing really happens. So then I go, okay, well, I don't really want to read this anymore. And someone says, don't worry, read the next book. It's going to get better. Here's a secret. It does not get better. Nothing happens in the second book. If you want to know what happens in the Twilight series, there's a girl who's depressed for 3 books, gets turned into a vampire, they fight each other a little bit, and then that's the end. Boom. I've just told you an entire run of thousands of pages of books in two sentences.
This is an absolutely true fact. I had to write a piece about Twilight for work, and I don't know anything about it. I only watch it when it comes on Riff Tracks. So I don't know how the last one ends. So I'm like, okay, well, I have to look this up to, you know, to make jokes about it. So I basically read the synopsis of what happens. There's a misunderstanding, and they almost fight. The climax of the entire series is that they almost fight.
Yep.
But talking it out saves everything, and they don't fight.
Yeah. So it's fucking lame is what happens.
Just like any good Mormon marriage.
That vampire werewolf epic chronicle ends the same way as a Three's Company episode. a little bit of talking.
Yeah, I also read Stephen King's The Stand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what somebody told me. They were like, hey, you should read it. Oh, no, I didn't read the whole thing. I read 240 pages. I was like, you know what? Nothing has happened in 240 pages.
You didn't even get out of the first quarter. The first quarter is the best.
Yeah,
so.
That's what everybody tells me. And I'm not saying he's a bad writer. Technically, it was good writing. I could see everything that he was talking about, but no plot movement. And if you don't have plot movement in a book, I'm fucking done with your book. Period. Done. If something doesn't happen, I'm not going to read your goddamn book.
I had the same problem with Harry Potter in that I couldn't.
Oh, that's interesting.
Everyone told
it.
Me. See, I started reading the first book.
Did you start with the first book? That's the problem. The first book is not very good.
Exactly. I got like 50 pages into it.
Everybody
and I was like, I'm not 10 years old.
I saw the first movie. Some fans that were friends of mine dragged me to the first movie. And I was like, this is a kid's thing. I'm not going to like this. And I loved the first movie. And I was like, oh, this is really good. And so I read the second book and I was like, okay, this is okay. And I kept reading to find out what happens, and the books get progressively better and better and better because the first book is her first book, and everybody's first everything sucks ass.
Everybody's first time writing?
That was her first thing.
Story.
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, that book
She had one big story
she
to
never
tell.
Wrote a grocery
her
list.
First book sold, the number one book, I think it sold 50 million? Wow. 50 million. Stephen King, who's been writing for what it was around 40 years at this point or something, he hasn't had one book sell for over like 5 million. And he's one of the most prolific best-selling authors ever.
To be fair, he still hasn't written an ending.
Well, and you're also not going to they like start kids reading with Harry Potter books. I don't think they're going to start kids reading with like Night Shift or Bag of Bones
or
something.
I'm going to start my kid on Firestarter, give him the Dead Zone, and then...
Carrie.
Yeah, totally. Carrie. That is the like. I'm not going to do. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. I'm going to do Carrie.
Super fudge.
All right, good times. Now our rant is over. No more rants.
Okay.
Do you have any opinions on this, Brandon?
I do have a rant.
Oh, let's hear your rant.
Yes.
I hate those inconsiderate bastards from the East Coast who ruin the end of Walking Dead on Facebook.
Fuckers! Oh, motherfuckers!
They do that shit with Breaking Bad and everything, man. It's annoying.
I found out what happened at the end with Lori like 3 hours before I was supposed to. And I cursed.
Oh, because New York is...
It was like 400 pages of Facebook cursing.
You want to know why? Because New York is full of a bunch of fucking pricks.
Yep.
Here's the thing, and so many people...
That's why I want Spider-Man to stop saving New York. Just let it happen.
Can you come save a lake, please?
So many people watch on DVR. So many people watch it the next day, our next day viewers. We're next day viewers, and we have to basically go on fucking Twitter blackout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On nights of that and like Dexter.
Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones. Well, it's not so much Game of Thrones for us because we read the books, so nothing's as well for us right now. But Doctor Who,
me
for
and
sure.
Read the books. Okay. You haven't read the books.
The fucking Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Got spoiled for me the fucking opening weekend. I've had to block people on Twitter. Like, I had to block one of my favorite comedians. I was like, oh, unfollowed motherfucker, because he had to make his Prometheus jokes.
Who was it?
It was, okay, I'll say it, I don't care. It was Kumail Nanjiani. He's one of my favorite comedians. He's brilliant, but he had to make his Prometheus jokes opening fucking weekend, and I'm like, okay, unfollow. Like, and I unfollow anybody who spoils some shit opening week. Not everybody gets a chance to go to the movie opening weekend.
In fact, we should all start doing that.
Absolutely.
Because that way they'll stop.
I've
unfriended people on Facebook over this shit.
I'm not unfriended because now you can unsubscribe.
Yeah, usually I unfriend people.
That's right.
You can just block
their feed. I don't know how any of it works anymore.
That's how you do with your friends' girlfriends.
I've unfriended I've unfriended people who make super religious conversations and like insane political remarks. And I don't mean like a disagreement on like what I believe. I mean like
just saying things that are wrong,
like
period.
Wrong and insane. Yeah. Like you like, oh, you're all going to be punished by God because you voted for Obama. Okay, unfriend.
One time,
wait. To be fair, I made a really compelling argument.
One time, I got a whole bunch of people unfriended me because I was put just for weeks. I was just putting up nothing but pictures of Asians.
wait, hold on. Was it nerdy Asians or cool Asians?
It was just like a whole array.
You were just celebrating Asians.
Pictures of Tony Jaa. I think people are going to be all right with it.
Tony Jaa, badass. Yeah. So our topic of discussion today is going to be the big two versus indie comics.
Ooh,
wow. Brandon here writes for Transformers, Armada, and Thundercats, correct?
Well, Rescue Bots.
Rescue Bots. Mm-hmm. Cool. I haven't read that yet.
It's
a TV show.
Oh, TV show.
Sweet. Did Thundercats get renewed?
No.
Aww. That is bullshit. The new Thundercats cartoon.
To be absolutely honest, we don't know what's going to happen because it's on Toonami now.
It's still in limbo?
Well, it's on Toonami because before it came on Friday night.
So they're replaying
the whole first season and the ratings have gone up.
And if you haven't watched it, people, it is not your 80s Thundercats.
No.
It is badass.
My friend plays Tigra on it, so I'm really hoping.
Oh, Matthew.
Yeah, you know him?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, awesome.
Everything on TV is
He knows everybody.
I'm just making that point again.
No, it's not.
I haven't watched it.
A lot of people haven't. That's why we need the second season.
The eighth episode, though, for it to get
here. If you've seen America's Next Top Model, you know that all TV is not good.
Yeah. All right, that's for everything that
anything
has
with a Kardashian is just hell.
Yeah.
All right. So I concede my rant already.
All right, good.
Due to my employment situation, I cannot comment one way or the other on the Kardashians.
Nice. So, indie comics versus big two, and big two being DC and Marvel, obviously. And I guess
we weren't talking about Boom and Dynamite.
No, Boom and Dynamite.
I like Dynamite.
I love Dynamite.
The Boys, come on.
The times. Boys faded for me, and I loved The Boys. I was a Boys defender for a really long time, and now I haven't finished it.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't read past the second trade, so
I felt like it got a little stretched out in the middle. It was one of those things that felt like when somebody has the end to the story and they realize, oh, I need to make this last longer, or when they don't have the end of the story and they're like, oh, I need to stall until I come up with the end
like
of the
Lost
story.
In Battlestar Galactica.
Or you mean like all of Dragon Ball Z. I love Dragon Ball Z, but they told that guy, you got to make, however, was it 271 episodes? He's like, shit, I'm going to have to make everyone power up for 3 episodes at a time.
How many times did Frieza come back?
What? Oh, like do you count the movies?
Yeah.
If you count the movies, it's 3 times.
Wow.
My favorite thing on Dynamite is Jennifer Bled. Have you guys read that?
Yeah. That Garth Ennis, basically female Punisher?
Well, the first, I think it was 6 or 8 issues, was Garth Ennis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I read the first, 2 issues, and then I was like, eh.
You got to wait till the 9th issue. And then we're just going to keep bringing that back, I think. I really like what
comedians
we're doing.
Love callbacks.
Callback.
Do you like Scarlet?
I haven't read it.
Okay.
But I think that just be like, oh, this is going to be like the Punisher, but with huge boobs. I will read every issue.
I love that you're essentially a 13-year-old boy.
I know, me too.
What I love most about you, Becky, is that you are a 13-year-old boy
with more issues.
So, just because we do like to read the comments, and we have 2 loyal watchers, that's Eric Barnes and Mandy D. Mandy says, "You don't like my friends, Matt, and this is how you tell me." wait, that was backwards. Your friend's girlfriend's not your girlfriend's friend. and then Eric Barnes says, new Thundercats kicks so much ass.
Thank you, Eric.
And then he says, the Boys really needed to be about half as long as it was.
I don't know about half as long, but I would say chopped down to 50. It ended up being, 70?
Something like that.
I'm about 5 issues from the end, and I have been perpetually 5 issues from the end for 6 months or something.
Here's where I think the comparison really comes into light is indie comics generally, they may have superpowers involved, but they usually have some kind of original idea, and they do have some superheroes in what we got Image, Dark Horse.
IDW.
But I feel like when you go to Marvel and DC, you're going to get better superhero stories than you're going to get with a lot of the Image. And I think the reason is just because they were first.
Yeah.
It's not that they're better stories per se. It's just that they already created so many goddamn superheroes that every other superhero looks like a copy.
I think...
Well, it's because those characters are established. Like, you already know them.
I mean, like, every Image, there's like... Image has like a bunch of shit where it's like there's a character who's basically Wolverine. And there's a character
who's... I agree that when an indie comic just does a, you know, a pale shadow of... that makes no sense, pale shadow. But when they just try to do what Marvel and DC are doing, it's usually just a weaker version. But when they just take something as a jumping off point and do their own thing with it, it can be better. And this is not fair because this went over to Wildstorm, but Wildcats, when they fucking flipped the whole thing on its head of like, oh yeah, this whole war, this whole thing that we think about the Wildcats, oh yeah, that's all over. You know, and then Joe Casey took over and it just became about people who, yeah, they've got superpowers, but they don't have a superhero team anymore. They're just trying to get by and, you know, there's still some shit going on. You know, they still have to fight occasionally, but they didn't have a super team. That was badass. And that's something that you don't see a lot in Marvel and DC.
Yeah. Like, what would you do if everything... What do these guys do when things are relatively calm, too?
Like, any paradigm shift in Marvel and DC will last, like, six issues, and then there'll be another event that shifts it.
Yeah, because they're afraid of doing anything.
Most corporate-controlled characters. They can only go so far.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I think... this whole Marvel Now fucking... Wait, can I say fucking?
You can say whatever you want.
This whole Marvel Now shit, like, it's... And the same thing with DC's New 52... They're doing these reboots that aren't reboots. They're just what you're saying. They're just paradigm shifts.
Well, costume changes.
That's all they are. Yeah. But they're dressing them up as these huge reboots. And it's like, no, you're going to reset at some point.
When they announced the New 52 originally, I said, that's bold as shit. That's a great idea. Now, they're going to piss off so many people, but they can start from scratch and they don't have to deal with a big crisis and some weird punching through the universe thing to, you know, to correct things. They can correct everything from the start. And the thing that popped into my head was Supreme Power, which I loved. Straczynski's Supreme Power. I was like, badass. They can just, that's like a retelling of the DC mythology, basically. So I was like, oh, if they do it that way, they could do something really interesting with it. And then, of course, they didn't. They basically left almost everything in place.
And they kept almost doing something cool and then fucking it up. Like, they started off Superman with being less powerful. And it was interesting with him being less powerful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And with the Action Comics.
Yeah.
Oh, that
it
was
started off interesting.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, so we're just going to go back to him just being as badass as he was before. And
then he just pulled the insignia off his chest and, like, threw it
at somebody.
And exactly. Super big.
So, I mean, it's just one of those situations where it's like, they start off, although Animal Man, at least the first trade, pretty badass.
Animal Man and Swamp Thing are fucking awesome. Yeah. Both of those books are awesome.
Are they ever going to fix Wolverine is the question?
Flora and Fauna?
Yeah, the red
Animal
and the
Man
green.
And Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
What now?
Well, because they keep doing weird shit with Wolverine, like they change his origin every other fucking day.
The rumor goes that Disney wanted Wolverine to be more kid-friendly, so they put him in charge of the
Xavier School.
Jean Grey School, whatever they're calling it now. So,
why would they want him to be?
You're going
to
slowly see Disney's influence on the Marvel Universe.
And that's another thing that I want to talk about. Star Wars and Dark Horse has Star Wars legacy and all the Old Republic and all the other Star Wars comic books. So since Disney bought them, are they going to move those to Marvel, do you think?
What I heard is they're not going to at first, but I think when the licensing agreement does expire, you're going to see them jump to maybe some kind of alternate, like a Marvel Epic or a Marvel Plus or something. Disney's going
to
put it back in Marvel.
Yeah, they have
to. I mean,
they're
going to, you know, it's going to happen.
Because monetarily, it just would be stupid not to. But at the same time, I don't think that's a good idea.
Why don't they give the rights back to Tops?
Oh, Ed's here, by the way. Ed.
Ed Greer. Ed. I want to see Wolverine meets Mickey Mouse. I want to see Wolverine versus Mickey Mouse. I want to see, you know, Mickey Mouse is precocious, so he can't be killed by Wolverine. You know, little stuff like that. I want to see, you know, X-Men versus Cinderella.
Goofy.
Yeah. If Jar Jar fucked an Ewok, would you get a Goofy?
I think you might. I think
is
you
that
might.
What Goofy is? Because I never knew what Goofy was.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a fucking cow. Dog. Yeah. So what the fuck is Goofy?
I think you might get a Gonzo.
Wasn't a cow?
You might get a Gonzo.
What now? Wasn't Goofy a cow in the original cartoon or something?
Seriously?
Like
yeah, I think so. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was.
He was a cow at first.
He was a cow.
Okay.
Because he doesn't look like a dog, because Pluto is a fucking dog, and Pluto doesn't talk.
So he's like a Skrull.
Maybe he ate somebody. I don't know. It's like a Wendigo of a... I don't know, man.
Trapped in the woods, he had to eat.
In which case, Wolverine has to go hunting for Goofy if he's a Wendigo.
Eric Barnes says Avengers versus the Empire.
That lasts 30 seconds.
That'll yeah. How would Jedi's fare against superpower?
If Tony Stark figured out the whole midichlorian thing, he could probably inject them with something to take the power away.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Stupid ass Phantom Menace explanation. I like the original one that Yoda came up with an empire, you know?
Yeah.
Just the energy force. Yep. You know?
The Jedi, it's a different story. But if you're just talking about the Empire, I mean, fucking Mockingbird could take out the Empire.
She wouldn't even need to call Hawkeye. Just by herself.
The Empire in the Old Republic trailer, the one that just destroyed the Jedi Temple, you know, like in the video game trailer, like those guys would fucking wipe out the entire Marvel Universe. The way that they did it when Darth Amalgus, I think his name is, he comes in and he just like fucks everybody up. Mm-hmm. But it was those three people. It was the girl with the tentacle head and the red
head. Oh, yeah.
Mandalorian chick.
I love the Old Republic shit. That's so much fun. It's I wish they would just set the movies there from now on. Yeah.
You know, have you seen... You downloaded the game. You can download the game for free, by the way.
Because nobody bought it.
Yeah. But
that's a bad sign. 6 months, it's free now.
I don't know why it's so awesome. I've been playing.
That's the thing. Why is it that with all that money and all these you know, pre-written stories, like the Old Republic stuff, why can't they make the prequel's good... with some real Jedi action. That was the whole point. I was so angry when I watched the Jedis finally fight these Jedi masters getting down. Let's watch a planet crack in half. Let's watch a mountain get jammed up somebody's ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But none of that ever happened. They don't even throw their lightsabers and use them. I mean, it was just the most pussy thing I've ever seen in my life. And the Jedi got shot in the back by clones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Like, you know, they're supposed to have, like, you know, danger sense.
So basically, all the Jedi got killed the same way that Peter Parker's parents did.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, Mandy said Mockingbird never needs to call Hawkeye. She just wants him to feel important.
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit right now.
What is Hawkeye's power?
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to defend Hawkeye again.
Hawkeye
not
like
for me.
Rogue.
I'm just giving you shit.
Hawkeye's like Rogue. He touches whoever and he gets their power. So he touched Green Arrow. That's all that happened.
Read Avenging Spider-Man, I think number 4, where Hawkeye and Spider-Man are on patrol together, and Hawkeye can't stop shooting things with his arrow, and Spider-Man's like, "What's your deal, man?" And Hawkeye's like, "You don't get it. I can't miss. I can't ever miss. That's why I have to always train." And Spider-Man's like, "Why, dude?" And he's like, "You don't get it. I'm on the Avengers."
Doesn't he then fucking
like,
miss?
I have a god on my
I
team.
I think that's what happens.
Like, yeah, he does. That's
that's why I like the Ultimate Hawkeye, because the Ultimate Hawkeye is like Bullseye. Mm-hmm. Like, anything in his hands is deadly as fuck.
They've been doing that with
shit,
real Hawkeye.
That at the end of Ultimates Hawkeye 2. Too.
What?
Well, yeah.
At the end of Ultimates 2. Spoiler for everybody who hasn't read this, but when he's being held and they're like... suddenly they're like, "Hey, wait, what the fuck happened to his fingernails?" He's like, "You never should have left me my fingernails."
Yeah.
He flicks his fingernails at people and kills them.
What?
He flicks his fingernails at people. Like, he ripped them off of himself and he's flicking them at people, getting them in the eyes and in the throat and stuff.
You know do you know the worst thing about that? There could be a serious infection.
I stopped reading that when Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were having sex.
No. See, that was Ultimates 3. This is Ultimates 1 and 2.
Okay.
Ultimates 3 is like X-Men 3.
Brother, I didn't read that.
Yeah, they had an incest thing going on.
Why would they do that?
Ask Mark Millar.
They're trying to act like it's interesting.
No, that wasn't him. That's what I'm saying. That was Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb wrote that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Jeff Loeb
has gone way dark. Way weird.
Jeff Loeb? Really?
Damn. Also, I'm never sure how I feel about Scarlet Witch, period.
Mark Millar had them have the same sort of, like, kind of weird, a little too close relationship that they have in the regular 616. And then Jeff Loeb came in and first issue, Captain America, they are in love with each other, because he forgot the whole, you know, show don't tell thing. After 20 years of being in the fucking business, I don't know what happened to Jeff Loeb.
Oh, I know.
Weird, like, twins, like the Fenris and...
they do.
Remember them?
Yes.
The Wolfgang Strucker's kids.
That's true.
Sex incest babies.
But DC had it, too, because they had the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, the only time incest was entertaining was in Preacher. Preacher was like, oh, yeah.
Game of Thrones, man.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, man. A lot of weird, creepy incest on there, too. Yeah.
6 Feet Under had a...
What's wrong with all these creative types? They just got to get brother and sister fucking all the time.
Look at where they're from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. There's just incest going on. It's just, you know, art imitating life.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, like, prevalent? I'm the only child. I don't know.
I don't know. I never.
I have a brother.
Yeah, I have a brother too.
I mean,
I don't want to sleep with him.
It's like it's always sunny to McPoyles.
Also, he looks so much. Yeah. He looks so much like me. It'd be like I was fucking myself. So that's kind of weird.
You do like yourself.
I do. I don't look at myself very often though, because you know.
Nightmares.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but what were we talking about before I came in? Because I know I just crashed.
Oh, we were starting to talk about indie versus.
Yeah, then we got way off
the big two, and then we just kind of. Started babbling.
Well, the one thing I like about indie comics, and I've said this before, is in indie comics, you can really, like, remember the first 12 issues of The Authority? If anybody at this fucking table
has read
the first 12 issues of The Authority, they basically say, this is the Playhouse, I built it, now I tore it down,
fuck
y'all.
The first 12 issues of The Authority sell the rest of The Authority, like, from then on. Well, right? Like, the rest of The Authority is, it never... again, gets as good as like the first 12 to 18 issues of The Authority.
But there was a definite
because
arc.
That was so good, everybody has been reading The Authority ever since then.
Yeah. Well, and they brought basically The Authority back with this, the new Stormwatch series at DC.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's basically that. I think this is interesting because we're talking earlier about superheroes that imitate, you know, the Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm.
The Authority, you have Apollo and Midnighter, which are basically Superman and Batman.
In a relationship.
Yeah, but what is being done with them is so interesting that it never feels cheap to me. Like, they never feel like cheap knockoffs because they're such well-written characters and the relationship between them
is such a well-written thing. Invincible is basically, hey, what if Superman had a kid? But that's really super well done, too. Mm-hmm. Because I think the big reason that Invincible is really well done is because it's always one sole voice. So even if he occasionally does things that you fucking hate, it gets to stay so consistent, and it never replaces creative teams, and you have somebody come in and go, that's not really how I see Cyclops. And then, you know, do a completely different thing.
Yeah. I still haven't read Invincible because I can't find it free online. That's where my life is now, guys.
I don't know what my life is.
Get a ski mask and start knocking over comic shops.
I know. Nobody's going to figure that out. I mean, oh, by the way, Mandy said Jeff Loeb killed everything I love.
Well, you got to take it easy on Jeff Loeb, man.
Well, Jeff Loeb did one good thing. He wrote the first draft of Commando.
Oh,
that's
really?
True, he did. Yeah,
I enjoyed Commando.
The first draft of Commando.
I mean, it's a horrible movie, but it's great all
like
at the same time.
His kid died or something,
that was back
right?
In the 80s.
Like,
yeah, his kid got cancer. Told
you I'd kill you first.
But, yep. I mean, what I was going to say in regards to the indie comics, it just really shows you how much you can do when you're willing to let characters die, when you're willing to let characters really develop. Every fucking time, I mean, by now, Batman would be done with all these fucking kids.
Mm.
He would be done. I tried to raise up some kids. One of them died. That's a stupid plan. Fuck me for doing that. Let me do something else.
And he's also
can't evolve because it's this 50-year, 70-year character where they'll never evolve.
It's also
I think
in
that's
a Batman.
Why Damian is an interesting way to do it, because since it's his son, he can't stop. Like, he can't say no.
Yeah, right. That was an interesting thing.
Plus, he can only kill him with the daggers of Megiddo.
But does Gotham have a child protective services?
I know. I have a joke about that.
Young people.
Yeah, it's been privatized, though. Bruce Wayne runs it.
That's how he keeps being able to adopt everybody.
I mean, shouldn't Gotham have been taken over by the government by now? I mean, it's the worst city in the fucking universe.
Get the shit together.
Nothing good happens. The sun doesn't shine there, you know?
Well, I like terrible. It in there's an episode, there's an issue of the new Stormwatch where, you know, Jack Hawksmoore can talk to the city's spirits and shit, and the spirit of Gotham is
a dick.
It's like an evil owl creature. It's like every other city's spirit is just like a person, you know, just like a dude or a chick, and then you got this weird owl monster as the spirit of Gotham.
Man.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
It's Mothman. It's Richard Gere, actually. Literally, it's Richard Gere.
That's awesome.
Richard got them.
Well, and also, if you
Richard
think about Gere Batman, there's no way that Batman's character would allow, he wouldn't adopt any kids because he would It's not in his nature.
The
his nature
of a lone vigilante.
Exactly.
Getting a fucking brightly colored kid and going out with him. That's what I'm talking about. This corporatization. And I'm not trying to rail against.
You know, the only way they could do that. The only way they could do that is if they made Batman lonely. Like, you know, if he didn't have Alfred, if he didn't have anything, and all he was this rich kid living in his fucking house, dwelling over his parents' deaths by himself all the time, then you could be like, well, now he's adopting these kids. And it could actually be part of the story where it's like now he's so depressed all the time and he finds another kid who's as depressed and angry as he is and he adopts that kid.
Well, but even now it's retcon past that because it was kind of that way. It was this whole, oh yeah, I'm going to give Dick Grayson a chance to fuck up some criminals because boy, I wish when I was 12, I could fuck up criminals.
Yeah.
So he gave, you know, Dick Grayson the chance to do that. But now they done retconned it with this new Night of Owls shit where Dick Grayson was going to be a dope ass assassin either way.
Yeah.
So it isn't that Batman trained up a kid and made him dope. It's that he was going to be dope regardless.
Who was behind that, by the way? I didn't
Scott
finish.
Snyder.
Snyder.
No. Who was the actual person in the mask? The
Oh, it was, should we tell? Did you finish reading it?
Yeah, I told. Yeah. I saw it. So it was the mayor guy.
It's it was the mayoral candidate who also happens to may or may not be Bruce Wayne's brother.
I fucking hate people on podcasts. Fucking just spoil shit.
On the East Coast.
On Facebook.
We probably should have said spoiler alert.
Oh, hey. Spoiler alert?
The thing about the Batman and Robin dynamic, though, with all these kids that gets me is it's not so much the Batman thing, it's the Bruce Wayne public image of it.
Right.
That's some Michael Jackson shit. Like, he's this rich dude. He's unmarried. He lives in this, like, foreboding mansion out in the middle of nowhere and just like is going through young boys just like their tissues. You know what I mean?
I don't even know he's got Neverland in his basement. He's got a fucking dinosaur.
giant.
Well, and here's an interesting thing. You know, we're talking, we're vaguely talking indie versus DC and Marvel. And here's the thing. All we're doing is talking shit about Marvel and DC. If you think about it, how many, I mean, is there shit to talk shit
Let's
about?
Talk shit about indie.
Yeah, is there anything to talk shit about on indie? Like, what's
well, the indie
besides
comics,
the one that we were saying that they copy a lot. But what's your choice in that case?
Okay, the thing about indie as a whole, which obviously it's a ridiculous idea to think about indie as a whole, but if you think about all indie, is that there's absolutely no quality control, which means you pick up something, it could be like, I mean, you pick up something Marvel and you're like, well, this is a shitty version of the thing I've been reading. You pick up something indie and it could be horrifying. It could be grotesque. It could be fucking retarded. I mean, like there are just so many ways
that
it could go.
That's why you gotta have a good comic book.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
true.
Yeah.
And then you trust the artist and the writer, you know what
but, I mean? Hipsters are constantly, who are working in these comic book stores, are constantly trying to recommend these things, some of which are terrible.
Where are you
Because they're
like
cool.
What?
People like that a lot.
What?
Like the Victories?
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. I literally do not get that.
Michael Avon Oeming?
Yeah.
I've never
heard of it. It's called The Victories. It's really dark and twisted. The first episode has somebody getting eaten up by a wolf man and have like he rapes and eats them.
Okay, I kind of want to. I'm into this.
That sounds cool.
I like his work on Powers.
We read
a lot.
Cross.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
I
Cross.
I love Cross.
I like the first. I like the first.
It was like the last
thing of
house
Cross,
on the left, the comic book.
It is. It's disturbing. I mean, it really is disturbing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disturbing for disturbing's sake. It's just, hey, let's push this and see how far we can go.
And it's one of my problems because I enjoy it in comic books, but there's nothing more annoying to me than shock comedy.
And by the way, also Crossed
by the way,
is Ghosts of Mars if Ice Cube wasn't there.
Wow. Wow. Are you saying that subtracting Ice Cube from something could make
and
it
Natasha
better?
Henstridge. You take away Ice Cube and Natasha Henstridge and you get Crossed.
Okay,
fair enough.
I'm just saying.
You add in...
I like Crossed a lot better.
You add in Nathan Fillion, and you get Serenity.
Crossed reminds me of part of why I like comic books, though, because, like, they're... You can't get a lot of the stories that you get in comics.
Yeah, like, why the last man?
Even on HBO. Like, and the Garth Ennis arcs on Crossed, I think, are just flat-out good. I think they're compelling personal story. I don't know.
Okay, I apologize that I can't come up with any specific names of all of the indie books that... Okay, Garth Ennis is a name. He's somebody who came up through the system and then said, okay, well, now I want to do my own thing now that I've got a name and I'm recognized and I can get artists. You
and
know
when
what
you
mean?
Get
I can
that, get, it's
I
great.
I can get Jason Burroughs to write my crazy fucking ridiculous thing.
Well, you said
know?
Quality
but,
control.
But, and we're talking about things that are basically look like fucking stick figures. And have absolutely no artistic value whatsoever.
Wait a second. So when you're talking about indie, you don't mean like just the non-big two. You mean like the Xerox shit. Like,
well, I'm saying
that's all counts as.
Like, you mean underground?
It all counts as one. I'm saying it's insane to lump it all together. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying if we are and we want to go after indie, I'm saying that is the thing of indie. Is
if
that,
you want to go after
I
indie,
I would say only the top 10% of indie is even worth a fucking look.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, Brandon, I saw you at Kamikaze, and you were at a writer's panel, and you gave some of the best advice in regards to how to start your own comic. A guy was telling them, yeah, man, I'm going to set aside $300 a page to pay my artist, you know what I'm saying, because I want a professional. And Brandon's like, dude, if you give that fucker $300, I'll beat the shit out of you. Obviously. But it was just funny to hear, like, can you weigh in on some of the things that make something more quality control in regards to... Like, what are some of the steps that you have to take to make a decent indie comic?
Well, my problem is a lot of writers, or let me be more specific, a lot of people who think that they're writers aren't. You know, a lot of people start stories and don't finish them. I wouldn't start giving one page of a script to an artist until the final page was already done and revised.
Outline your motherfucking stories.
You can't build a car, drive a car as you build it. You know, and that's what a lot of indie people do because of a lot of personal issues. And I mean, I understand because you get excited and you're like, oh my God, I want to see this come to life. But what winds up happening is you create absolute garbage. Since I work in animation and comics, like I usually use the best examples. Like the guys who created Avatar The Last Airbender, they had that whole idea to the last second already done before they even, you know, really pushed hard to get that finished. You know what I mean? And you can see
the kid dies of cancer, right?
but you can see the difference between that and the show. Like, I'm not going to trash anybody, but the point is that there's some animation out there that's clearly not written with an ending in mind.
Right.
And what I would say to an indie writer who
you're talking about Inspector Gadget, right?
Maybe. No, but seriously.
The hard truth.
Basically, I would say that quality control has to do with first asking yourself what it is you want to see on the market. That's what I've done for everything I've created that was mine. I said, well, this is not being created. I don't ever want to chase Marvel in DC because, you know, going up against corporate characters who have a fan base that only wants to see corporate characters is very dangerous.
Right, right.
You know, because, you know, a guy like Robert Kirkman is extremely fortunate, you know, and I mean extremely, because there are people out there who are even better than him are not getting the shine. He just happened to hit at the right moment with the right things. I mean, nobody was doing a zombie comic on that level ever. Mm. I mean, he did a zombie comic set in a world where there are no zombie movies.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't know how to behave.
Genius, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's absolutely astounding. You know, and no one, I mean, every zombie thing after that is not going to be compared to George Romero. It's going to be compared to Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
You know, and that's another thing I say. Don't go for what's already made. Look for a space in pop culture where there is absolutely nothing.
A dearth,
sad to say, people Invincible don't do that. Was a niche too that wasn't filled. There was no superhero comic that had absolutely one voice that was just one person in charge all the time.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Well, that in Marvel and DC, the fact that those exist and that doesn't exist. I mean, the closest thing we've got to it is like Next Wave, because Warren Ellis doesn't want anybody else to write it, so he wrote like his 12 issues and he's gone.
Well, did anybody here read Luther Strode, The Estranged Story? It's basically Kick-Ass, but really smart. It's literally Kick-Ass. It's like this kid, he gets powers. I mean, well, in Kick-Ass, he kind of got nerve damage or whatever, but in this kid becomes invulnerable, except for people who are exactly like him. So he goes around and he just does this whole revenge fantasy where he beats the crap. Huh?
No,
he beats the crap out of like his abusive dad and stepdad, whoever it was, and then he goes and gets the girl he really wants. I mean, he does all this cool stuff, except that this one dude comes out of nowhere who is exactly like him, and only they can hurt each other.
So it's Hancock.
Highlander.
Yeah. It's Hancock.
Yeah, but it was done in a way that was
Hancock.
What if Freaks and Geeks became Chronicle?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Literally, it's that. And then I'm reading and I'm like, holy Christ, it just gets better and better. And I don't get that experience very often because there's no more wizard to hype shit up. So, I used to just go through wizards and say, oh, maybe not. So now I have to dig into NewsArama and all these other places to find out what's good. So I just go to comic book shops and just look at the first five pages. And
that's what I do now, too.
Yeah.
I got a couple of things I got to read. We got to get to your thing.
Oh, damn it.
And then we got to get to Becky's thing. First off, Eric said the reason and this is a great point. The reason that it's hard to talk shit about indies is that the majority of the shitty ones don't get readership and are unknown.
Yep.
Whereas the readable ones are touted heavily and get solid press reviews. So we all get to see those.
Can I comment on that really quick? I saw this article online the other day. Somebody posted on my Facebook about under the radar graphic novels of the year, blah, blah, blah. And Saga was on there.
What?
And I was like, how dare you call this under the radar?
Weekly.
That is, yeah exactly. Like, that's the best book out there, and everyone knows it. Like,
the other night, a comedian on stage was like, he's like making a joke about someone not liking to read or something, but he used Preacher, and he said, yeah, you should check out this new comic book then called Preacher. I'm like, motherfucker, that's not new. What the fuck?
It started in 95.
Yeah, so I assume that he read an article and thinks Preacher is new.
About women be shopping.
It's the new innovative stuff.
So we got to get to two things. First, we got to do Becky's neurotic news. Nerd news. Nerd news.
Happy Cyber Monday, everyone. If you're a gamer, there's lots of good video game deals on places where you buy video games like GameStop and Amazon. And also my girlfriend wants to know, why isn't there a Hobbit video game coming out with the Hobbit movie? More of a question than something to ponder. The Pentagon said this week ostensibly that there will be no Skynet.
This is bullshit.
They're protecting us.
A human will always decide when a robot kills you. That's what I learned from Wired.com about it. Because, we have all these drones just killing people.
Yeah, the three laws will save us. That's what the Pentagon is saying.
And they say there's all kinds of humans that decide on this. You know what? It really feels like the Pentagon feels like my parents in the sense that, my parents told me, my mom told me too much, but then not enough about some things. Like, she shouldn't have told me when I was 8 that my dad forced her to get an abortion at one point. But she should have said that she loved me. You know what I'm saying? I don't really care.
I feel like
how the robot inside the droid works. I just want to know who really does decide. I don't need to know. Anyway.
I feel like the government saying there's not going to be a Skynet is kind of like when your girlfriend's like, I'm not going to cheat on you. And you're like, whoa, I wasn't thinking about
that. Where did that come from?
Nobody was talking about Skynet. Why are you bringing it up?
Literally nobody said Skynet until you guys said it.
And if you guys know anything about news, Friday night is usually when news dumps happen because nobody reads newspapers on Saturday morning.
That's Friday nights when I got a lot of dumps happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this was leaked the night before Thanksgiving when no one is watching news. So they really didn't want anyone to know about not having Skynet.
Now all of our millions and jillions of listeners, I don't want to shortchange Brandon's thing.
Yeah, we won't.
One thing.
Oh. Well, you're going to talk about Kickstarter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Well, let's do that.
All right, go.
Okay,
all right, go.
One of the reasons Brandon is here is to talk about his Kickstarter program. So
yes, I have a Kickstarter campaign that's not doing too well. So hopefully, even if I don't make it, it'll be good to have more people know about it when I do it again in 2013. It's called Dominions Light. It's like the best way to pitch it is Lord of the Rings meet Blade Runner.
Ooh.
It takes place in a,
I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
You had me at Lord of the Rings meets Blade Runner. Jesus fucking Christ. Everybody pitch into this thing.
I don't think I'm going to make it, but it is on Kickstarter. It's Dominions Light. Ain't It Cool News actually just ran an interview with me. So that went up today.
That's awesome.
So you can check it out. And the folks at Ain't It Cool News have been very good to me because they were one of the few and the first people to really interview me on Shadow Law. That was awesome. But yeah, Dominions Light is up. It's a little bit different than your average medieval style sword and sorcery epic because it's very diverse. It's not reverse engineered from Western European medieval history.
Thank you.
What?
So, Thank you very much.
So it's going to, it has all kind of characters. In fact, the villain is African American. That's something that hasn't been done since James Earl Jones in the original Conan movie.
Exactly.
So that's
also
pretty
doing,
cool.
Baby.
Yeah. So
black bad guy.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. On the news.
Yeah, that's because people are fucking scared. They're like, I don't want to make
them, real life.
I don't want anyone to think I'm a racist by making a black bad guy.
That's why I'm going to be having a picture in every issue. Like, look, a black guy did this.
It's okay. It's okay.
My picture
it's
will okay. be on the back of every issue.
No, but and the one that's thing is, yeah, Tulsa Doom, man. That's a good reference. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I just have a very unique world. I mean, I created, I think it's 5 continents, each one with its own history. If you go to the Kickstarter page itself, it has links to other stuff, including my agent's webpage, which has a lot of information about Dominion's Light and how it was made, and basically all the background information. I have a pitch package that, you know, is going out real soon, so hopefully somebody will like it, and hopefully I will get my Kickstarter funded the next time.
Yeah. Did you find an artist already? Or
Yeah. There's 2 new pages of artwork. It's a guy from South Africa, actually. His name is Dawid Strauss. Oh, he worked on Darksiders 2.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And it looks great. I mean, if you go to Kickstarter right now, you'll see the new artwork and the promo prints you would have gotten if it gotten funded, you know. But like I said, I'm going to come back in 2013 and we'll see what happens.
We'll make it happen.
I hope so.
I'll post it online.
I'm definitely down with non-European fantasy for once.
The trick is, it's just
European fantasy.
Well, the problem is everyone who's written it has been like, you know, like Tolkien or Robert Jordan, you know, and they have and even George R. R. Martin, they have a very specific view of the world.
A very specific Eurocentric view of the world.
Right. Robert Jordan is weird as shit.
Yes.
He's got the, I mean, I read all of those books, but when he started getting a brain tumor, he started writing women like the weirdest writing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting kind of weird and kinky.
Everybody gets raped all the time. I mean, I'm just like, good God, man.
Can we just calm down on the rape? What's going on?
It's like Christ almighty. Anyway, so yeah, Dominion's Light is on Kickstarter, and I really hope that folks will just learn more about me and my career more so than anything else.
Cool.
So,
thank you, man. Yeah.
Right on.
This guy's awesome. If you haven't heard, so
thank you.
You're welcome, dude. Becky's got 2 more stories.
Oh, there is I saw a Lego set the other day that is a Death Star, and it's over 10,000 pieces, and it's all I think about. 22 characters. It's amazing, you guys. And let me know if I should buy it.
She's going to put a Kickstarter up.
Oh my God, what a good idea.
You need to have a picture of her standing next to it.
What do you need to raise? $49.95?
That's actually something that can be accomplished.
What's going on?
How much do you need to have a raise?
Yeah, just look it up. It is unbelievable. Like, ah, it's unbelievable. It's got so many scenes within it from episodes 4 and 5.
Does it have that faulty exhaust port where you shoot it and blows the whole shit up?
I hope so.
No, but it's like, it's
wouldn't
like
it be
hollow.
Episodes 4 and 6?
What?
There wasn't the Death Star wasn't six. In episode
correct.
5.
Correct. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm really bad with Roman numerals. I'm disabled.
She's actually got real dyslexia.
Yeah, it's the true thing. Also, that like really rich dude. Elon
Virgin?
Musk wants to build an 80,000 person Mars colony.
Nothing could go wrong with that.
I love this.
Just make sure Ice Cube and Natasha Hens
call back.
Musk has never been shy about his ambitions to take human colonists to another planet. That is my favorite fucking quote from an article ever.
You should be shy about that. That is the one thing.
No, but you know what? You know what's funny? He's never, how about this as a headline? He's never been upfront with his desire to put rich people in space.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's also not bring racially, what is he about racially with this? Like, this
not just
sounds like he
what
might
was his
be,
name again? No space.
His name was like Von Strauss or some shit.
Say this, he's not going to have Zemo. Any Conan villains.
The first flight would be expensive and risky, quote, but, quote, once there are regular Mars flights, you can get the cost down to $500,000 for someone to move to Mars.
Oh,
I think it's just going to be him and 79,000 women. It's just...
What a good idea.
Him just that's banging 79,000
hey,
women.
Bitch, you want some oxygen? You want some oxygen?
Anyway, so that's all my.
That's questions. The nerd news, neurotic nerd news. We got our rants out of the way. Brandon Easton, an awesome guest. Check out Dominion's Light.
Thank you so much for having me.
We got Matt Blackwood. What's your Twitter?
At Matt Blackwood on Twitter. Also, check out my podcast, What Were We Talking About? The most current one is about the Twilight Zone with Jamie Foxx from Kevin Pollak's chat show.
Nice. Oh, that
show. Ed Greer Destroys on Twitter.
You Andy Sell?
At Andy _ Sell, S-E-L-L. On Twitter.
Kluger.
Becky Kluger on Facebook and Twitter. Kluegger. And come to Flappers on January 6th.
It'll be awesome. January 6th, Eddie Pepitone. And Monday, Angry Dorks, 6 to 7 p.m. on SkidRowStudios.com.
Oh, shit. Took
up a lot of time. That was good.
Good job.
Scrubbing